Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we've been talking about missions, as I'm currently on a mission to Africa and wrapping up a four-week tour of Africa, preaching the gospel over there. And so I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that you too are called. Maybe it's just to support and come alongside a missionary if you're not able to go yourself. But if you are a believer, if you're listening to me today and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a born-again believer, understand this, that you're in the battle, that you are one of the warriors that God is expecting to step up and to take up the gospel armor and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of the gospel of truth, and shod your feet with the gospel of peace. And if you are a warrior in the battle, then get ready for the battle. And so God may open a door for you. We talked about last week, God may open a door for you in a way that will stretch your faith. It will test you. It will put you to the test. It'll take you out of your comfort zone. And so God wants you to move forward. He doesn't just want you to be a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning Christian. He doesn't just want you to be a lukewarm Christian and then hang up your battle gear in the closet for all the rest of the week as you go about your secular duties. And you are in the battle. You are in the battlefield of the Lord. And so I just want to prepare you for what the devil has for you, and to prepare you to be able to say yes and move forward when God puts that call and puts that charge and that commission on your life to go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Well, if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Acts, the 16th chapter. We're going to start there in verse 16, and we're going to look at a couple of stories in the missionary journeys of Paul, and he had some pretty exciting adventures, as you can well imagine, and he was the first missionary he and Barnabas sent out in Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. It tells about the commissioning of Paul from his brothers there in the church at Antioch. And so, as you can imagine, the whole book of Acts, for the most part, from about chapter 8 or 9 on, is all about Paul and his missionary journeys. And I could write a book. In fact, I may. I've already started one. I got just a brief start on one about the missionary journeys that I've taken. And I can tell you, brother and sister, there is no greater fulfillment on this earth. There's no more excitement on this earth. There's no more joy and peace on this earth than there is when you step out in the strength and name of Jesus Christ and take the good news of the gospel to the nations and to those who have not heard or need to be encouraged or strengthened by the gospel. When you do that, you're receiving that hundredfold blessing we talked about last week in Mark 10:30. You're receiving that hundredfold blessing when you step out and you leave your farm, you leave your business, you leave your home, your family, your children, whatever. And again, this is not an encouragement for abandoning your family. It's just saying when you step out, and even just for a short term, maybe a week or two, or you come alongside somebody, write out a big check so somebody can go and preach the gospel, somebody can go and share the good news, the hope for all mankind. When you do that, then you're going to reap that hundredfold blessing. Well, in Acts 16:16, Paul here encounters in Macedonia, and an interesting footnote here is that Paul had been given the open door. He had been given a vision in verse 10. It says, "Now he had seen the vision. Immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Well, when they got to Macedonia, the open door was there. They preached, and they met immediately a lady named Lydia, who was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God. And so there was an open door there, a sister in belief, a sister in the kingdom who provided for them. And verse 15, she and her whole household were baptized, And she said, stay on with us. And so she persuaded Paul and Silas to stay on with them. And then in verse 16, here comes the opposition. And I want you to note in your own life, brothers and sisters, even when you have been given open doors, even when God says, come here, there will be opposition. There will be those who will persecute you, not only from the devil's lair, from the unbelieving world, those that haven't been interested or don't show any interest in the gospel, but there will also be opposition from those who claim to know Jesus Christ, from those who may be standing with you at one time but betray you in another instance or another circumstance. In verse 16, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, you notice there in verse 17 that this young girl who is bringing her master's great profit by fortune-telling, that she is speaking the right words. She's saying the right things, that the words that she's saying seem to give homage and pay tribute, in a way, respect to these men of God. And so she's saying these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, you can't always just go by people's words. Sometimes the devil causes people to lie to you. Sometimes the demons are speaking. This young girl had a spirit of divination, which is a spirit that is dependent on mediums. It's dependent on spirit mediums, and it's dependent on the devil to bring the spirit of divination, the spirit of answers and correct answers. And so it's similar to somebody who's running a psychic hotline or using the I Ching to divine answers, or a pendulum or whatever. The spirit of divination is a demonic spirit, and so you can't always just listen to the people's words. One of the ways that you listen, or one of the ways that you know whether somebody is truly from the Spirit of God or from the spirit of the Antichrist, is you listen to the words, but you have to watch their actions. You have to listen to the words in relation to the spirit behind the words. And also, God will give you, through the Holy Spirit, He will teach you the truth in all things. It tells us in John 16:13, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you the truth in all things. And so, as I have also traveled in Africa and other places around the world to minister, sometimes I just had to rely totally on the Holy Spirit for direction and instruction in regards to certain people, because they may have looked like they were doing the right thing. They may have talked the right talk and acted like they were really sold out for the gospel, but sometimes they've been corrupt. Sometimes they've been liars. Sometimes they tried to steal money. I can remember back a few years ago going into the Congo, and the Lord showed me in a dream that there would be great repercussions from some of the events there in the Congo, that the people traveling with me would suffer great repercussions. And so this also has taken place in my life, that sometimes people who portrayed themselves as gospel ministers, sometimes people who portrayed themselves as really walking with the Lord and upright in righteousness, that these very people tried to steal from me and tried to betray me. And so this is what Paul has encountered here. This girl is saying the right words, but Paul understood through the Holy Spirit that there was something annoying about this girl's spirit. So in verse 18, this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, and turned and spoke to the spirit. It said he spoke to that spirit in her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. And so Paul spoke to that spirit, and he was not speaking to the girl. He was speaking to the demonic spirit in her. And in 1 John 4:1, John gives us some instruction regarding these spirits. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And so you know there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world. Many people say, well, they believe in God, but when you ask them, do you believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, that he came to die for them, and that he shed his precious blood for them, they can't go that far. They start backing away because their concept of God may be a pantheistic God. Their concept of God may include, you know, the God of Allah or the God of the Muslims, the God of the Hindus and the Buddhists. And so they say, well, God can't be who he says he is if he condemns all those people and all those who don't turn to him. He can't be the loving, compassionate God full of loving kindness that he claims to be in the Bible. Or just look what he did in the Old Testament. You know, God wiped out many people. He was a genocidal God. And so the God that we serve, the God Jehovah God, he has a son, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh. And his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for you, and he shed his precious blood for you. And his son, Jesus Christ, was laid in the tomb, and he was resurrected 3 days later. And he came then, and he led the captives up out of Sheol, tells us in Ephesians 4:8, the same Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then sat down at the right hand of God. And by the precious blood that he shed, the precious blood was shed for your sin and my sin, this same Jesus Christ then made the way for us to live for all eternity in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, back to Acts verse 19 and chapter 16, when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid their stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Well, the irony of it is, this is the open door. This is where Paul and Silas had been instructed to go through the vision, go to Macedonia, and here they are sitting in prison. This young lady with the spirit of divination, because they had challenged her, why the hope of profit was gone, and so Paul and Silas, you might say, upset the apple cart throughout the city because the hope of the prophet was gone. And so many times the gospel, well, not many times, it always exposes corruption. It always exposes lies. It exposes false doctrine. It exposes false religions, pagan religions. It exposes divination. It exposes the works of the devil. And so when you're doing the work of God, you're going to expose and destroy the works of the devil. So be prepared for opposition. The very place where God said, I want you to go, they ended up in prison. Well, that's not the end of the story, but I just want you to be prepared for the fact that sometimes things aren't going to turn out just like you think they should, just because you are walking through the open door. You will receive persecution. Well, the second story I'm going to talk to you about in Acts 19, Paul is now over in Ephesus, and it says God worked unusual miracles in verse 11 by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And so what is happening here is that some people were trying to appropriate the name of Jesus Christ. It's like saying we use the badge. We go out and pretend to play policemen by going to the hardware store and buying a badge and putting that on our shirt, and we're going to go out and try to play policemen and play law officer. And some were trying to exorcise the demons out of others by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And verse 14, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who was doing this type of exorcism. And the evil spirit that they exorcised in a man answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Well, the seven sons of Sceva who were trying to appropriate the name of Jesus Christ got their you-know-what kicked. And this is a lesson for us, brothers and sisters, that when you're doing the work of the Lord, you better be sure that you know the message. You better be sure that you know the captain. You better be sure that you know the Word of God and His Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And if you're just trying to appropriate the name of the Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus, and you're just trying to appropriate that name but still walk with the devil, or still be in that lukewarm gray area but just appropriate the name of Jesus, you may end up in a skirmish that you get your nose skinned, and you may get leaped on and overpowered and prevailed against. And so it said the seven sons of Sceva fled out of that house naked and wounded. And verse 17 wraps up this little passage of Scripture. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily, and it prevailed. Well, I want to give you some encouragement today, brother and sister. If you're speaking the word of the Lord, if you know the captain of the army, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you can go out and you can do mighty miracles in the name of God. You can move into the devil's territory and you can take territory for the kingdom. You can cast out demons in the name of the Lord, and you don't have to worry about getting wounded and getting your nose skinned up, and you don't have to worry about having to flee and let the devil prevail over you. You can, by the strength and power, greater is He that is in you, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than that little he. Greater is God that is in you than that little he, that little devil that is in the world. In other words, when you go into the devil's territory, there's a greater God in you than that little devil that is coming against you. When you go into the devil's territory, that Holy Spirit and the captain of the Lord of the hosts, that Holy Spirit and the gospel armor will protect you. And even if you get put in jail, you're going to be under the covering of the Lord. Even if spirit of divination comes against you, the evil spirits, all the evil spirits that the devil can throw under at you and against you, you will prevail against them. If you are sincerely walking with the Lord and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, it all starts with Jesus. It all ends with Jesus. If you have never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Get on the side that's going to be the winner. Get on the side that's the winner right now. I've read the end of the book, and you need to read it too. And Jesus Christ is on the side of the winner. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts, and He is sitting at the right hand of God. And if you want to sit at the right hand of God, you can do that as well. You just need to confess His name and turn from your wicked ways, repent and be baptized and follow the Lord, and you will be saved not only for today. but for all eternity. Well, if you make that kind of a decision today, let me know. PurePrairie@Hotmail, I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for tuning in today. I thank you for your provision for this radio broadcast and for the Africa Mission. And I just praise the Lord for the great things that He's doing through this ministry over on the continent of Africa. Well, God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.